more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
WCVE Public Radio. Columnist Jeff Shapiro joins us, as he always does on Friday mornings at this time, from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his analysis of Virginia political news. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne.
The federal government announced this week it won't allow offshore oil and gas drilling off the East Coast, a prospect that Governor Bob McDonnell had found near and dear to his heart.
Yes, not news that Bob McDonnell wanted to hear. Now, perhaps he'll figure out some way to challenge this. I'm not saying that he will, but I guess there's always the possibility of going to court. But the possibility of winning a legal challenge is probably an even longer shot than drilling itself. So this means that the governor is going to have to come up with a new plan to pay for transportation. Remember, his idea for getting the state out of the liquor business, which was supposed to produce this windfall for transportation, it's a dead end. And both, of course, were offered by the governor as candidate McDonald as a painless way to pay for roads. In other words, to pay for roads without raising Virginians' taxes.
Richmond area Congressman Eric Cantor, who will become one of Washington's most powerful lawmakers next month, is in the thick of the wrangling over tax rates, unemployment benefits, and all the rest.
Yes, smack dab in the middle. He is against extending unemployment benefits unless somehow they're paid for, and he's for extending those Bush-era tax cuts for everyone. And keep in mind that there's a little bit of daylight between himself and his soon-to-be boss, I guess one might put it that way, Speaker-designate John Boehner. All of this is quite interesting, and at least in that it suggests a certain elevated scrutiny of Eric Cantor. A service that the paper has recently started, PolitiFact, has twice questioned Eric Cantor on some very dubious mathematics on his part in regard to the size of the deficit, how quickly it grew, and the impact of rescinding those tax cuts, particularly on small business.
We'll be talking more about that in about 14 minutes. State workers without a raise for some time are receiving a bonus in their paychecks.
Yes, a one-time 3% bonus. This is, of course, a bit of the good news in what is otherwise a bad time to be working for state government. But we're going to be seeing more spending cuts. Governor McDonald has suggested that some of them could be as high as 6%. Remember, the governor and the legislature have already pruned state spending by $4.2 billion. A big expense of the government remains staff, personnel, if you will, health care as well. So maybe it will be giving up something. But one of the things the governor might be considering is issuing more bonds or proposing more bonds to kind of ease this cash squeeze. However, it looks like the Democrats in the Senate have sent a shot over the governor's bow. The Senate Finance Committee is reporting that debt service, so you know what taxpayers pay to pay off debt, is now the sixth largest expense of government, and it has increased 50% since 2007. So perhaps the Senate Democrats are signaling to the governor to forget about using the taxpayers' credit card.
We have about 2.5 minutes, Jeff. State Democrats will be choosing a new party chairman, and the House of Delegates Republicans will choose a new majority leader.
Yes, Democrats meeting in Newport News tomorrow to choose a successor to Dickie Cranwell. Brian Moran, former delegate, former House caucus leader, House Democratic caucus leader, defeated candidate for governor in 2009, is standing for the chairmanship, along with Pete Rousselet from the great county of Arlington, one of the bluest spots on the planet, a former Moran supporter. Moran says he has this in the bag. His opponent argues otherwise. Regardless, the big issue now for the Democrats is, you know, finding their way out of the wilderness. And of course, they've been there before, and perhaps will emerge sooner rather than later. Certainly, this is what they're going to be telling themselves at that meeting in Newport News. as far as the Republicans are concerned. House Republicans, Kirk Cox of Colonial Heights is going to become the new majority leader, nearer his goal to thee, which is the speakership. He will be giving up the House whip job. That's essentially the chief vote counter. Bill Janice of Henrico is running for that job, along with Kathy Byron of Campbell County.
In about 30 seconds, can we talk about that federal court ruling in Lynchburg about the health care law?
Well, not that this is going to have a big impact on that piece of litigation initiated by Ken Cuccinelli, but Norman Moon, a federal judge, ruling in a case brought by Liberty University, that's Jerry Falwell's Liberty University, threw out a challenge on the constitutionality of health care reform. As I said, it probably have little impact on that bigger case that hinges on a Virginia law which would protect Virginians from having to purchase health care.
We're down to our last 30 seconds or so. We certainly want to recognize your longtime colleague, Tyler Whitley, who is celebrating 50 years with Richmond Newspapers, the Times-Dispatch, and the former Richmond News Leader.
Yes, your former colleague as well.
Yes.
Five governors, Governor McDonald and four of his predecessors, turned up yesterday to pay tribute to Tyler. He told some great war stories, including a great reminiscence about an event A.L. Philpott, that crusty Southside speaker, threw for Doug Wilder in the 85 Lieutenant Governor's race. The lead of that story was, guess who's coming to breakfast?
Please give Tyler my congratulations and personal regards.
Roger that.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro. It's 8:40.
On a Friday morning, it's